Start.
Hello everyone. We, the students of class 12 of KV Tarkeshwar, have prepared our art integrated project on several topics of chemistry. So here it goes. Hello everyone, myself Avisha Bhandari. My topic is Bohr's atomic model. As we know, various models of the atom have been proposed by eminent scientists like Rutherford, Niels Bohr over the year. These models have increased our understanding of atomic structure. Among these models, Rutherford suggested that electrons revolve around the nucleus. Then what was the need of Bohr's model of an atom and what does it suggest? It was because there was a problem with Rutherford's model. The motion of electrons in Rutherford's model was unstable because any charged particles moving in a circular path emits electromagnetic radiation. These electrons would lose energy and fall into the nucleus, making the atom highly unstable. To overcome the objections against Rutherford's model of atom, Niels Bohr in 1913 proposed a new atomic model. It first proposes that electrons revolve around the nucleus in specific orbits, and these orbits are associated with definite energies and are called cells or energy level. These are represented by letters K, L, M, N. The maximum number of electrons that can be accommodated in a particular orbit is 2n², where n is number of orbit. The model next proposes that the outermost cell is 8, and it finally says that the orbit closest to the nucleus has the minimum energy and the furthest one has the maximum energy. Since electrons move in a particular orbit, they do not radiate energy by themselves. Thus, this atom is stable.
Hello, myself Kakasha Islam and my topic is thermodynamics. The part of chemistry which deals with the relation between various types of energy and establishes quantitative relation between them is known as thermodynamics. It can't predict the feasibility of a reaction but can't predict the time taken in that process. So, the study of thermodynamics is quite an easy task when we come to know about its various topics and details. So, what are the different topics related of thermodynamics? Extensive and intensive property. The thermodynamics property which do depends on mass of quantity is known as extensive property. For an example, initial energy. The thermodynamics property which doesn't depend on mass of a quantity of system is known as intensive property. For an example, temperature. First law of thermodynamics. Energy can neither be created nor be destroyed. Energy of isolated system is constant. Total energy of universe is constant. The drawback of first law. The main drawback is that it can't predict the direction of a process. Now, the second law of thermodynamics. Clausius' statement. It is not possible for a self-acting machine in a cyclic process to be able to transfer heat on its own form of a body at lower temperature to a body of higher temperature. Now, Kelvin's statement. It isn't possible for an engine to ever convert all the heat into mechanical work. Now, the third law of thermodynamics is the entropy of a property a perfectly crystalline solid appears zero as temperature approaches absolute zero.
Hello, myself Tarak Bagh and my topic is organic chemistry. We know that carbon atoms has the unique property of catenation, due to which it forms strong bonds with the carbon atoms to form long chains and rings. It also forms strong bonds with other elements, especially hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen, sulfur, phosphorus and halogens, resulting millions of compounds. These compounds are studied under a separate branch of chemistry called organic chemistry. Organic compounds are vital for sustaining life on Earth. We depend on organic compounds that occurred in nature for our food, for our clothing, for many of our medicines, and for our energy, like natural gases, petroleum, etc. These organic compounds are essential compounds of our blood, muscles, skin, genetic information, bearing deoxyribonucleic acid, DNA, enzymes, vitamins, lipids, carbohydrates, nucleic acid, etc. Our bodies are also regulated and dependent by complex organic molecules. So, organic chemistry plays a very vital role in our life. Nowadays, a lot of compounds are prepared in the laboratory, but it wasn't so easy in distant history. So, how scientists came to be successful in preparing man-made organic compounds? Vital force theory. Until early 19th century, all the efforts of the chemists failed to synthesize organic compounds in the laboratory. It was believed that organic compounds cannot be prepared in the laboratory, but can only be isolated from animals and plants. Berzelius, a Swedish chemist, proposed that the synthesis of these compounds within the plants and animals required some mysterious force. This force was called vital force, and the theory was referred to as vital force theory. However, the vital force theory received a crippling blow in 1828 when Friedrich Holler, a German chemist, accidentally obtained urea, an organic compound found in the urine of mammals. In fact, Holler tried to prepare ammonium cyanate, a substance with mineral origin, by heating ammonium sulfate and potassium cyanate. But under the reaction conditions, ammonium cyanate rearranged to urea, a compound which was organic in nature. This chance discovery of Holler brought about a revolution in the field of organic chemistry. The synthesis of organic compounds no longer remained a mystery, and many organic compounds are prepared in the laboratory. For example, Kolbe prepared acetic acid, Henel prepared ethyl alcohol in the laboratory from mineral resources. Acetic acid was prepared from carbon and hydrogen. The synthesis of organic compounds altogether changed the very concept of organic chemistry. By the middle of 19th century, the vital force theory was completely discarded. Chemists then never looked back. At present, about 95% of the organic compounds are man-made. Organic compound is now defined as the chemistry of compounds, as all the compounds contain carbon as the essential constituents. Thus, organic compound is the chemistry of compounds of carbon.
Hello, myself Palmi Samantha, and my topic is biomolecules. Carbohydrates are primarily produced by the plants and form a group of naturally occurring organic compounds such as sugar, glucose, etc. Chemically, carbohydrates are optically active polyhydroxides, aldehydes, or ketones or molecules which provide such units on hydrolysis. They are broadly classified into three groups: monosaccharides, disaccharides, and polysaccharides. Glucose, the most important source of energy for the mammals, is obtained by the digestion of starch. Monosaccharides are held together by glycosidic linkage to form a disaccharide or the polysaccharides. The most abundant biomolecule of living system is proteins. Proteins are the complex polyamides formed from amino acids. They are the polymers of about 20 different alpha amino acids, which are linked by peptide bond. They are essential for proper growth and maintenance of our body. thus forms the fundamental basis of structure and functions of our life. Each and every generation resembles its ancestors in many ways. The particles in the nucleus of the cells are responsible for this transmission of characters. These are the chromosomes, which are made up of proteins and another type of biomolecules called nucleic acids. Nucleic acids are the polymers of nucleotides, which in turn consist of a base, a pentose sugar, and a phosphate moiety. Nucleic acids are responsible for the transmission of characters from parents to the offspring. There are two types of nucleic acids, DNA and RNA. DNA contains a 5-carbon sugar molecule called 2-deoxyribose, whereas RNA contains ribose. Both DNA and RNA contains adenine, guanine, and cytosine. The fourth base is thymine in DNA and uracil in RNA. The structure of DNA is double-stranded structure, whereas in RNA is a single-stranded molecule. DNA is the chemical basis of heredity and have the coded message for the proteins to be synthesized in the cell. There are three types of RNA, mRNA, rRNA, and tRNA, which actually carried out the protein synthesis in the cells. Lipids are the esters of fatty acids and glycerol and are usually insoluble in water. Lipids containing phosphorus are called phospholipids. A fatty acid has a carboxyl group attached to an R group. The R group can be methyl or ethyl or a higher number of CH2 group. They produce more energy than carbohydrates and also acts as a structural components of cell membrane. Vitamins are the accessory food factors required for our diet. They are classified as fat soluble, which contains vitamin A, D, E, and K, and water soluble, which contains B group and C. Deficiency of vitamins leads to many diseases.
Hello, myself Shuli Mandal and my topic is Environmental Chemistry. Environmental chemistry deals with the study of the origin, transport, reactions, effects and fates of the chemical species in the environment. But here the question arises that what is the need of environmental chemistry and how can we utilize it to contribute towards a better quality of the environment? Environmental chemistry plays a major role in the environment. Chemical species present in the environment are either naturally occurring or generated by human activities. Environmental pollution is the effect of undesirable changes in the surrounding that have harmful effects on plants, animals, and human beings. Pollutants exist in all the three states of matter. We have discussed only those pollutants which are due to human activities and can be controlled. Atmospheric pollution is generally studied as tropospheric and stratospheric pollution. Troposphere is the lowest region of the atmosphere in which man along with other organisms including plants exist. Whereas stratosphere extends above troposphere up to 50 km above sea level. Ozone layer is one of the important constituents of stratosphere. Tropospheric pollution is basically due to various oxides of sulfur, nitrogen, carbon, halogens, and also due to particulate pollutants. The gaseous pollutants come down to the earth in the form of acid rain. 75% of the solar energy reaching earth is absorbed by the earth's surface and rest is radiated back to the atmosphere. These gases mentioned above trap the heat, which result into global warming. It is important to realize that these very gases are also responsible for the life on Earth, as they trap the requesting amount of solar energy for the sustenance of life. The increase in the greenhouse gases is raising the temperature of the Earth's atmosphere, which, if not checked, may eventually result in the melting of polar ice caps and consequently may submerge the coastal land masses. Many human activities are producing chemicals, which are responsible for the depletion of ozone layer in the stratosphere, leading to the formation of ozone hole. Through the ozone hole, UV radiations can penetrate into the Earth's atmosphere, causing mutation of genes. Water is the elixir of life, but the same water, if polluted by pathogens, organic waste, toxic heavy metals, pesticides, will turn into poison. Therefore, one should take care to follow international standards to maintain purity levels of drinking water. Industrial waste and excessive use of pesticides result into pollution of land mass and water bodies. Strategies for controlling environmental pollution can be taken. The first is waste management, and the second one is adopting the methods in day-to-day life, which results in the reduction of environmental pollution. The second method is the new branch of chemistry, which in its infancy was known as green chemistry. Some concepts is followed by an individual contribute towards a better quality of our environment and human life. Always setting up a composting in our garden or any other place in our home and using it to produce manure for our plants to reduce the use of fertilizers. Using a cloth bag and avoiding asking for plastic carry bags when we buy groceries, vegetables or any other item. Seeing that all newspapers, glass, aluminium and other items in our area are recycled. We might have to take little trouble to locate such dealers. We might realize that we do not have solutions for every problem, but we can concentrate on issues which we feel strongly about and can do something about. We should take care to put things practice whatever we preach. Always remember, environment protection begins with us. So hope you understand that chemistry is related to every aspect of our life. Hope you like our presentation. Thank you and stay tuned.